Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk with Scott Ellis. Today, I'll be played by a stunt double. Her name is Josie Ellis. So, let's get started. Let's talk with Josie Ellis. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk with Scott Ellis. All right, I have a problem with today's episode. How do you introduce somebody who needs no introduction? How do you introduce somebody that I could spend the whole podcast episode just introducing this person to you? So I guess, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and get ready for the 27-hour podcast edition. While we're going to be talking with my wife and business partner, Josie Ellis. Josie, thanks for doing this.
Oh, you're so cute. You're going to make me cry.
No, that'll be later when you find out that I didn't take out the trash. I haven't mowed the lawn today. Josie, in the immortal words of the Grateful Dead, what a long, strange trip it's been, right?
So true. So true. Who knew that this is what we'd be doing at 50?
Right, right. Well, some of us are 50 as of the recording of this. So let's,
just to be clear, it's not me.
Oh, okay. So we've talked with people and told them a little bit about our story and how we got started. And, we've been asked quite a few times to share our story. So let's take a break from, production podcast episodes and let's go back in time and let's tell our story. So way back when you and I were both working, I was teaching elementary school as a librarian, and you were working in Williamstown, Massachusetts.
Yeah, in human resources. Yeah. And we weren't loving what we were doing. You know, things change and things evolve, and the stuff that gets you out of bed every day just wasn't doing it for us. And you had this opportunity. You were able to, what was the story that you like to tell about when you were in the library and a kid said, "Oh, Mr. Ellis, you should read professionally." And at first you were like, "Well, they pay me to read to you, so I do." But then it started you thinking with your theater background, and you just took it from there. You have the knowledge with all the equipment and the technical pieces from your music and your theater background, and you were just able to take it from there. And, the rest of us were like, "What the heck is he doing?" We have to tell the story of our daughter, Megan, who tends to be loud and proud. And we always have to be, "Megan, shh, Megan, shh." She hated that. And then we never saw you, because you were always recording after work. And like you said, you were stubborn and you stuck with it and gave me the opportunity as you continued to get more jobs. Like, now you had this e-learning project that was taking a huge amount of your time, and I could help with that. And we did some calculating and whether we could maintain, our lifestyle while we were not necessarily working. Well, I stopped the 9-to-5 piece before you did. You kept on as a teacher. Yeah, it's crazy. I sort of feel like I'm rambling, but
no,
yeah,
you're absolutely going through the story. So, yes, it was that I think he was a first grader. Now he's probably the CEO of some major corporation. It was so long ago, but he got me thinking about audiobooks, and I had all the equipment, and I loved listening to books, and it got me thinking, and thinking about who is it that reads these things? How do they do that? And I found out where to audition. And that first night, you remember I auditioned for 4 books And I got two of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, a 50% success rate is crazy. It's never happened since. And new narrators don't think that that's going to happen because that was weird. But yeah, so I got those books. And it was then that we realized that I had no idea what I was doing or what I was getting into. And yes, you guys were at the end of your ropes with me, with just constantly being upstairs recording. And I was trying to do, you know, all of my recording, editing, processing, teaching, you know, fatherly duties, husbandly duties, homeowner duties, all that stuff. And it just wasn't working. And do you remember, I think it was as I was wrapping up the first book, I found out that none of the specs of my files were good enough to pass muster for the platform that we were working with. And I took them to Jack, a local fellow that works at one of the music stores. He's an engineer, recording engineer. And I went to him really on bended knee crying, saying, "Jack, you've got to help me. This book is due and these files aren't passing." And he said, "All right, give me all your stuff and I'll see what I can do." And he took them home and worked for a couple of days and called me back and he said, "You know, Scott, I'm sorry. Garbage in, garbage out. There's nothing I can do with these." And I ended up having to record both books in one weekend. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yep. We went away. I think we all were planning to go away together and you had to cancel. You know, and we left you behind, which turned out to be a blessing because no noise, no distractions, nobody around. But yeah, it was, I don't think you had much of a voice after that when we got back.
No, probably sounding a little like Ethel Merman at that point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, they're still out there and, you know, those books, they passed and, you know, we're able. We wouldn't necessarily steer people towards them, but, you know, because you've learned so much and your equipment is better and your, you know, the way your room is treated is better. You know, it's just, you've come a long way, babe.
Thank you. Yeah. And so fast forward just a little bit in time. And, you know, you mentioned that e-learning project that I got involved in. And then I got hooked up with Dorothy May Mercer, an author who had, she had a series of books that she was having somebody narrate. And then as she was working through the series, every main character that the lead character met, so let me be a little more clear, the lead character was, his name is jumping right out of my head.
Mike McBride.
Right, Michael McBride. So every time Michael McBride would get involved in a situation and solve a case, those characters for whom he solved that case would get a book of their own and we would know their backstories. So I was hired to narrate all the backstories. Well, something happened with the narrator who was narrating the main series, and I got them all. So now all of a sudden I had, you know, 14 books on my docket to narrate. And it was taking an inordinate amount of time. Plus I had that e-learning thing that we really haven't, you know, touched on much. And then we had our oldest daughter, Mackenzie, who Mackenzie and Megan had also been kind of working with me a little bit, helping me proof on the fly. They would sit in the studio and listen to me read, and I'd look out of the studio when I'd made a mistake that they hadn't caught and they're dead asleep or they're on their phones. You know? They were younger at the time. So Mackenzie's getting ready to go to Stonehill College, and we take a family vacation. And that's right. Where we learn about the magic of Airbnb and some other possibilities opened to us.
Talk about... we're sitting in this Airbnb in Rockport at Marianne's house, and we're looking around and we're thinking, we could do this. You know, we have 6 bedrooms in our house, and one of which is on like a separate wing, and we started just brainstorming and whether we could, you know, how people, you know, does anybody want to come to the Berkshires? Is, you know, would this be the type of thing? It's not a whole house. There's not a private entrance, you know, all of the things that wouldn't make it work. And then we worked through them, and it turns out it's been a lifesaver. I mean, it has certainly supplemented a good chunk of our income, that once we made the decision not to go back to regular 9 to 5, at least, you know, for me first. Yeah, it took the pressure off immensely. And our hostess gave us this delicious banana bread. And so now we said that we wanted to, you know, do the Airbnb, but only if she'd give us the recipe. And she did. And now we're sort of famous for our banana bread. It's really Marianne's banana bread. Yeah. And it's just, people love the banana bread and love the suite, the guest suite that we've created. And we're super hosts. We have currently long-term guests that have been here since April. They'll be here April through December. Yeah, it's been huge, and awesome to supplement the, you know, I was in human resources and then started working from home, which was nice for a minute. And then, you know, I had to stop talking to the cats all the time, and it provided another source of social engagement with other people. You know, we innately need to connect with people, and you and I certainly have done that throughout our whole careers. And so it also led to us being connected with strangers and making them friends. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, that really has been a great experience, and we have enjoyed just about every minute of it. So that was great. I do need to go on record and make a correction, though. We only have 5 bedrooms in our house. The shed is not a bedroom, even though you make me sleep out there often. It's not technically a bedroom.
You're not nice. You're right. I was incorrect. We have 5 bedrooms.
And you don't make me sleep in the shed. I was just teasing. So, all right. So here we are. We've got Mackenzie off to college. And as she likes to say, the minute she went off to college, we threw her out of her bedroom and we took over her bedroom because the Airbnb suite is what was our bedroom. And so I got in with, thanks to Mackenzie, because she found it, I got in with this educational software for kids, which was kind of right up my alley, where I was reading problems that the students would see on the computer, or I was reading explanations or questions, answer choices, descriptions of pictures, all kinds of things like that. And we were finding that it was something that I could record an hour of in the morning. And then that hour recording was what was your first job. And it would take you the entire day while I was at school to process them, proof them, upload them to the correct spaces where they belonged so that the kids could click on them and they'd hear the right thing. And you used to send me pictures of you sitting on the couch next to the pellet stove in January with the 3 or 4 cats piled around you. And here I am teaching and not very happy about it. And right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, people who don't work in audio don't necessarily understand all the components of it. So yeah, you recording was such a small part of that whole project because each, you know, sound wave had to be like highlighted and then exported with a name, you know, so that I could find it later to upload it to the link or to the problem, like you said, that it took a lot of time. And that was the stuff that you were trying to juggle in addition to the audiobooks, in addition to Voice Bunny. We haven't even talked about, you know, the commercial work that you were doing at the time. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. And you know, you can start to see why between Airbnb, your commercial voice work, the e-learning, the audiobooks, being a husband, being a father, all on top of working as a teacher. Like, it was a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Intense. And you were doing music. That's the other piece. You were still doing music. Yeah. You know, the decision for us to make a break from, you know, the career side of our lives, you know, I had done it pretty easily. And also knowing that I could always go back. I wasn't going to lose my experience in human resources. I wasn't going to lose my education. So if this little leap of faith didn't work, I could go back to work. And then, yeah, you started. It's funny, we talk about how Scott's ability to get out of bed, you know, he had to be to work by like 8:30 or something. And I would be like prodding him at 8 o'clock. You got to go, honey. You got to get out of bed. Come on. It's time.
I can't. I
know. And yeah. And then, you know, once he made the decision. And so then you have to remember that, you know, as we alluded to, he made this decision. We met with people about retiring. You know, he had had 30 years in the classroom because he started at 18 as a paraprofessional. So had the years, but he was still young. So, you know, he wasn't going to get the full percentage of what you can get, you know, from a pension as a teacher. And, you know, we're making those calculations. We're getting ready to, you know, at this point, we probably sent Mackenzie to college. So it was a huge life transition for us, making the decision to walk away from two solid incomes into this world of unknown while our kids were on the path and another 2 years short from going to college. It was, I'm surprised we survived.
Well, you know, and we also have to thank, you know, your parents, my mom, you know, they are so supportive of what we do. And we knew that we weren't not going to eat. You know, we knew that nobody was going to, you know, support us financially. We had to make it work or not. But if we found out that, you know, this little business enterprise wasn't going to work, we weren't going to be out on the street until we could find something, you know, more solid again.
Yeah, I think that's really important. We did certainly had safety nets and never felt because what I said about me being able to go back to work was really the same for you. If the business side didn't work for you or we weren't making ends meet, we could still go back to work. Thankfully, our degrees still resonate. They're still needed. And I think that that is the component that gives us the security to keep doing this, that, you know, it's working great. We're loving it. But should something catastrophic happen, we go back to work in the real world.
Right, right.
Because we sort of feel like we're in this fake world. You know, our friends are like, you're living the dream. And we get to vacation and we get to do, you know, really what we want to do on a daily basis. And we still get a ton of work done. You know, our days are long. But, you know, like you're fond of saying, having too much work is never a bad thing. We just have to make sure we're taking time out for ourselves.
That is the truth. So, all right. So we're to the point where we decide maybe we can both retire from our regular jobs. And that's when I came to you and said, you know what? We need to get you involved in Voice Bunny. It's an organization that we like where we do short form narration. So that would be your commercial work. We do, you know, commercials for Spotify and Pandora, things like that. Those ads that pop up on YouTube. I remember the first time I was watching a YouTube video and a commercial, you know, one of the ads came up first and I was like, hey, that's me. Before we continue with this episode, let's step aside for a moment to hear more about SER Classroom, a sponsor of Let's Talk with Scott Ellis.
Learning to become a narrator or voice actor just got easier. The SER Classroom is a self-paced, video-based platform with weekly live meetings with Scott and other mentors in his program. You could learn how to become a narrator or voice actor by watching YouTube, or you can cut through it all, learn from one person, have a team of mentors to help, and talk directly with the teacher. Hi, I'm Ken. The best part of SER Classroom is learning techniques on how to fine-tune my work, years of experience, and support from the Scott Ellis team. Visit www.serclassroom.com to learn more or email scott@scottellisreads.com to set up a one-on-one conversation before you jump in. We look forward to seeing you in the classroom.
If you're interested in becoming a voice actor or audiobook narrator, I hope you'll reach out to the classroom. Let's continue with today's episode. You know, things like new employee orientation. I know we've done work for Home Depot with that. I did that whole project that was the step-by-step instructions for how to run the software that helps you design ocean-going ships. It was like 18 hours of me talking about something I had no idea what I was talking about.
Right.
And we got you started in that. And
oh my gosh.
There's a story coming, people. You know, and so let's spoil the ending first and say now you have more jobs in that short form work than I do. But talk about your beginning and how long did it take you to do your first 30-second ad?
Oh my gosh. So, you know, remembering that I was on the, you know, whatever you want to call the post-production side of what Scott was doing. So I'm not behind a microphone. I'm familiar with the software we're using. I'm familiar with the waveforms, what those look like, how they translate to words and that sound form, but I'm not familiar with a microphone. You know, I don't love the way my voice sounds. You know, everybody says that when they hear themselves on a voice message or whatever, you know, but I was that person. Like to me, I have this high screechy voice, and yeah, I didn't buy into Scott saying, you know, that I've got potential or there's, you know, what he tells everybody now, which I truly believe. There's room for all voices. And I do tend to, you know, I can have this conversational type voice as I do now, but I do tend to put on a presentation like voice, which Scott has tried to get me out of, but my clients seem to like it. So, you know, we joke about I'm really good with all projects unless they want me to be conversational in my tone. And that's where I really struggle. I can't be conversational. I don't know how. At least when I put on the headphones and I'm behind the mic. But so the first jobs, I mean, the first job that I got, first of all, I think I was really surprised when they accepted my audition. You know, and so that's kind of the first piece of, you know, I have you to thank in terms of giving me the technical chops, making sure it passed specs. And, because a lot of people who try to do Voice Bunny are rejected, you know, the room that they're recording in or the equipment, or, you know, they're pretty specific about what has to, you know, to make sure that it sounds good for the client. They're sort of a go-between. So people bring their project to Voice Bunny and then, they choose from a profile of samples of who they would like to have narrate or do the voiceover work. So we never get to really interact with the clients. And so, you know, they have high standards. So that first one, it must have taken me hours. I feel like, you know, it was probably a three minute project, which, what would that be, honey? Like 300 words maybe, but
not quite.
But oh my gosh, it took me hours. I kept listening, redoing, listening, you know, reflecting back on it, you may remember more, but I can't even remember what took me so long, because now I can sit down and do a job like that literally in 10 minutes. Like, oh, I've got to go do a job real quick. And I sit down at my computer, bang it out, listen to it, proof it, make sure it sounds good, and send it off. It's just, it's so routine. But those first couple, I remember I would call you at school because something wasn't working, or I'd hit a button or I didn't hit a button that I was supposed to hit with the equipment. And I couldn't hear myself or it wasn't recording. Just and this panic that it would set up in me, you know, was because there's a time limit. You know, if you're whether you're familiar with Voice Bunny or not, you have a time limit on each of the projects. So, you know, you've got to get it done as quickly as you can. And there's statistics. And so if you take too long or if you miss a deadline or if you get it done fast, you know, all of those things either help or hinder your statistics. But gosh, the rising panic. Whew.
And that countdown timer that sits at the bottom of your screen, no matter what you do, doesn't help, right?
Oh, yes, right. Yes.
Like, can we call MacGyver to defuse this thing?
Yeah. And now it's funny because I don't even pay any attention to that now. It's not even something that phases me.
Yeah.
They have, as I was saying about statistics, like if you go to Voice Bunny and you search, I think I'm in the middle-aged female category. I'm one of the top pros. And, you know, that says sort of how far that I've come in doing that type of work as well. We've got some examples on our website of doing Cat Genie commercials. So if you know us, we have four cats. Mm-hmm. And we have this cat box that's like an automatic cat box that you connect to to a water source, and it basically cleans the cat box for you. And I don't know if we were one of the, you know, I don't know how new the product is, but, you know, they're expensive. And so it was an investment that we were making into them. And then when I was selected to do a commercial for them several years later, we were like, we have these. Yeah. We literally own two of your products.
Right, right. I was on tech support call with them one time, and I told them, I said, you know, my wife is the voice of your product. And he was like, you know what? Right. I've talked to some really famous people, and that's really kind of cool, but this takes the cake. I can't wait to go watch that video. So he was really thrilled to be talking to me about you. You know, but backing up to Voice Bunny, Josie, you know, I was so proud of you because yes, you know, like you said, 98% of people who apply are rejected their first time. And, you know, you and I have worked with some narrators and gotten them over that hurdle. But the narrators that we've tended to work with, they have some performance in their background. You know, mm-hmm. You didn't. You weren't an actor. You weren't a performer. You made presentations as a course of your job. So you had a sense of what it's like to be a public speaker, but it was really pushing you out of your comfort zone, out of your box, to help us make this a viable experiment for us to go off on this and do it. So, you know, kudos to you. You stuck with it, and yeah, like you said, now you're one of their top pros. And I'd say you probably do, what would you say, between 7 and 12 jobs a week for them?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now I'm doing a huge job for them where I think it's teaching the English language to, you know, maybe Chinese individuals. I'm not sure. And I'm just reading headlines, you know, so you get all sorts of, you know, when we talk about commercials or presentations, you know, this is a whole other avenue of, they look like headlines of different things that have happened across the world. And, we don't really know what the client is doing with them. It almost doesn't matter, you know? It's certainly not what I expected to do. And I think easily, you know, we're making thousands of dollars a year working with them. And so what we started to do is, as you can maybe piece together, is we had to start supplementing the income that we had walked away from. And so there was Airbnb was a chunk of income. My Voice Bunny was a chunk of income. Scott's Voice Bunny was a chunk of income. Certainly the narrating of audiobooks and the e-learning, like all of those were like individually, you know, smallish amounts, but you put them together and we felt somewhat whole, you know, maybe certainly not earning as much as we were previously, both working 9 to 5, but so much happier. I think that's really the component that you and I continually relish in, that you know, our life together, you know, is so much more gratifying because we're doing this leap of faith, as I keep saying, together.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this together.
Yeah, we're kind of cobbling together an income, and we're diversified enough that, you know, if one of us were to get sick and couldn't narrate for a couple of weeks, it's not like there's going to be no money coming in, which, you know, a lot of people that want to do what we've done, you know, that's something they're concerned about. You know, I've told the story quite a few times about being nervous about doing this because my great-grandfather, Herman LaBelle, was an opera singer on Broadway when they were opera houses. And, you know, I mean, this was back in the days of Victrola. You know, he had 42 albums out, I think. He used to teach music and, you know, he was kind of a big deal. And he took a part-time job in a beer brewery, my hero, and a high pressure pipe burst. And where would a high pressure pipe that burst hit an opera singer? Correct, right in the throat. And he never sang again. And you know, it's stories like that that make you really nervous about putting all of your eggs in one basket, which, you know, we've tried to stay away from.
Right.
So the next step in our process, Josie, is we're both doing Voice Bunny. I'm doing audiobooks. We're trying to manage all of this. Now we're too big for our own britches and we need some help. And this is where Brittany comes in and your mom comes in.
Right, right. So Brittany was one of our first marketing coordinators, and we adore her and she adores us, which is a nice relationship to have when you're starting something new. And yeah, she took us public. She got us out there. I think she put us in touch with the person that created our logo with us and I created the website, but she did a lot of the social media. And she's trying to juggle school while she's doing this as well. And so we didn't have a huge amount of time that we needed from her, but, you know, it was a nice supplement. And she was doing a great job getting our name out there. And yeah. And then my mom was a great resource to be able to start proofing Scott's work and in the audiobooks. And she just has a good business mind and is helpful to bounce ideas off of what will work, what won't work. Yeah. So we were really fortunate for both of those sides. And then we still needed more help. And Jade comes into the mix, mm-hmm. and we teach her how to edit and proof. I guess that's one of the things that we missed in I connected, you know, after I sort of had Voice Bunny under my belt and I had edited and proofed books for you. You know, a good chunk of those Dorothy May Mercer books, I put my name on a list of other editors and proofers. And so we work through ACX and there is a list of people who can do all of that post-production work for you. And I started, you know, I got a couple of different calls. People reached out to me and I'm ashamed for what those projects probably look like now, but because I know so much more. But Jack Baracis is a narrator in the UK, and I've done a ton of work for him. We've done so many books together. He calls me a legend, which I love. He calls me Josie, and he says, "You're a legend."
Yeah.
So I do that work for him, and he's pretty prolific. So that was another diversification of our income, being able to have that as a consistent, well, every time he's doing a book, you know, through that project, I invoice him for the hours that I've put in to edit and proof, and income comes in that way as well. So Jade, because I started doing that more full time for him, then we needed somebody to proof your work. And that's where Jade comes in. Jade was a friend of Mackenzie's, and was it during COVID or she was working as a server somewhere and I think COVID may have happened and she wasn't going back to the restaurant. And we were like, well, you want to try this? And she was going to school in the Netherlands. She was studying abroad and she was home for the summer. We weren't sure if we were ready to hire somebody full time. So it was like, try this for the summer. And she did fantastic. She learned so fast and taught her everything I knew about editing and proofing and processing and mastering files. And then she went back to the Netherlands and has continued to work with us while studying and while doing her internships. And she's going to graduate next year, I think, as a as an elementary teacher herself. And yeah, and we're able to supplement, you know, her life as well. So our business is now benefiting other people too.
Right, right. As we've even let her hire someone to assist her. So she's got Kiana that is working with her when there's a little too much on Jade's plate. She'll let Kiana, who is in Boston, you know, do some things. So it's really crazy how we've become a global
right.
company.
and my mom has just continued to, you know, her role in the company has continued to grow too. So she just recently said, you know, is there more that I can be doing to help you? And I had another person contact me about really doing mostly more of a final listen for her books. And, you know, I'm going to teach my mom how to do that. So she has the correct spacing, can take out noises. You know, previously she would proof and rough edit. And we're going to expand that. We wouldn't be able to do it without all of this assistance. And we haven't really mentioned, you know, Mackenzie and Megan's role either, because
right.
they've certainly been huge as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, I was looking at Forbes magazine the other day. We are certainly not on the Fortune 500, but if you take time to look at the Fortune 500 billion list, we're in there.
It's not all about the money. Yeah. But Mackenzie graduated from Stonehill and we were able to, you know, have a place for her to land both, you know, be able to come back home and also have a job. And so she does work for us by vetting auditions, making sure that she's in connection with the authors before we pass on editions, because our team has expanded. We've taken on more narrators. Gosh, we haven't even gotten to that. I'm now jumping over the fact that we have a team of narrators too. But, you know, when you mentioned putting all our eggs in one basket, you know, Scott couldn't be the only narrator. And so having other narrators that we're then producing their books, so we're doing all post-production for them, our team of editors and proofers, Jade, Kiana, myself, Mom, allows us to have narrators that we're teaching and then finding books for. They're narrating the books, we're producing them, and it's a whole multi-level, I don't want to say multi-level marketing. That's not it at all.
No.
But like multi-levels of audiobook production. Like we've got it all going on. And then Jackie is our new marketer and she's doing a great job marketing all of those things. It's blown up in the last year.
It really has.
In a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of what has allowed us to expand into that, bringing in these other narrators and all of that is... you know, the advent of the SER classroom, you know, where we were away camping because now that we're retired, or semi-retired, we bought a camper. Some friends of ours said, yeah, we're selling ours. And we bought it. And, you know, so now we go on these wonderful trips and we have a section of the camper that's set up as a studio so that we can still narrate while we're on the road. And
well, not on the road.
Well, no, not while we're right. While we're away from home. Yeah, because it's hard to drive and somebody's in the studio back there, you know, jiggle the steering wheel. They're going, no, we wouldn't do that. Yeah, so we got contacted about you know, I was kind of doing some one-on-one coaching and it was pretty labor intensive. It was time consuming because I was taking time with each and every student to walk them individually through the pieces. And Crystal contacted us out of San Diego and said, you know, you need to look into one of these online teaching platforms. And do you remember that first meeting with her where we were like,
oh my gosh,
what?
Our minds were blown. Yeah, we first, so Crystal was a client. You know, she had contacted Scott about doing one-on-one coaching and yeah, wanted to learn about it. And then the way that her mind works is she started telling us about these, the possibility of doing, I forget what she even called it, but we thought maybe she was calling to say, you know, I could help run your business and I could do this, 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 and this for you. And that's what we were prepared for. And we were thrilled, but then she totally threw this curveball and said, you know, instead of doing one-on-one 30-minute sessions with all your students, what if you record them? And you put it online and then people can see these pre-recorded sessions. And there's this website called Kajabi, this platform. And I've worked with it and I can get you started. And that first conversation, it was probably a couple hours long. And I think you and I were just like, our jaws were dropped and our brains had exploded. And we just, I think she picked up on that and she's like, so I'm going to let you chew on this and then I'll be back in touch in a couple of days. And boy, did we chew. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't even think if I recall correctly, you and I didn't even talk about it when we got off the call with her. It wasn't until the next morning that we were able to say, okay, do we even talk about this? Mind blown.
And it was like that for the next couple of times we talked about it. Like we had so much to absorb after our phone calls with her, you know, like 24 hours would go by when we were working on it in our heads. And then we'd come back around to each other and figure out, I don't know, is this something? Should we not? Do you think what? I don't know. Yeah, but we did it. And yeah, the classroom has certainly, you know, again, now it just added another diversification into our pot of people who want to learn how to narrate audiobooks or do commercial work. Your videos take people through step by step, 5 to 15 minutes of a video, self-paced, however they want to do it in terms of whether they do it for a month or a lifetime. And yeah, no pressure. They can contact you directly. We have a whole community of people. Our narrators are also on that classroom to answer questions. We're hoping that continues to grow. But yeah, just another component of the Scott Ellis Reads Empire.
And the Scott Ellis Reads Empire comes from one of our first coaches. We were talking with him about, you know, this is where we are and these are our ideas. And he sat back and he said, you guys don't need me. You're going to have a whole empire. We were like, ooh, that kind of sounds nice.
I don't think we believed it at the time, though.
No, we didn't. But, you know, slowly but surely it's come together. We've had some dead ends. We've had some avenues that we've had to do some U-turns. We're always growing. We're always thinking. You and I work so well together as you know, business partners and as husband and wife. It's a wonderful journey, and I wouldn't want to be on it with anybody else. So I'm really glad you came along.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for inviting me. Sometimes kicking and screaming, sometimes. So one of our favorite stories is, you know, so me telling that little bit about literally trying to kick Scott out of bed before he had to go to get to the classroom, to get to his teaching job. Once he retired and we were building this, he's out of bed every day, 7 a.m., cup of coffee in hand. And I can be a little bit more leisurely. And so I'll wander down at, you know, whatever time. And he'll bombard me with ideas. It doesn't happen so much now because we have so much going on. But the first 6 months, I would come down and not even have a cup of coffee in my hand. And he'd say, "So I was thinking." And I'd be like, "No."
And that
okay,
is
stop
the quote
right there.
I say, "So I was thinking," and Josie runs.
You know, and that's part of what, you know, makes us a good team is Scott's a, you know, you're a brainstormer. You're always thinking, you're always trying to build ways to improve. And yeah. And I'm sort of left to figure out a way to implement the things. And, you know, I try to parse through, yes, this is a good idea. No, we're not doing that. Maybe we can try this. And, you know, but we're so busy. It's hard to implement these new ideas. So I think his, so I've been thinking has turned off a little bit, has lessened perhaps, while we try to continue to improve on what we have happening. But yeah, it has been so much fun. You know, you make me laugh every single day and I love you to pieces. And it, you know, COVID certainly impacted a lot of people and we didn't feel that impact so much because we were already working from home, already living our 24 hours a day, 7 days a week together and perfectly happy with it. You know, you think about other married couples who would try an adventure like this together and just be, you know, it just wouldn't go as smoothly as it does for us. And yes, I'm very thankful that we're on this journey together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love you too. And it has been a strange trip, but it has been a ton of fun. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There's the first seven years. Oh, wait a minute. The first 7 years.
Well, we talked about what Mackenzie's doing. And so Megan is our youngest daughter. She's a junior at Merrimack College right now. And 100% wanted nothing to do with anything Scott Ellis Reads related.
200% wanted nothing to do.
didn't want him to be recording books when she was in high school because we kept having to shush her. Didn't want to be a part of the brainstorming. You know, just, you know, we love her to pieces, but just didn't want to be a part of it. Not up her alley, which is okay. But so we pull her into the podcast and now she's our person who reaches out to our narrators, our authors, other people that we want to have on the podcast. She's got the list of questions. If you've been on the podcast already, you know what those questions look like. You know, arranges all of the components. Her boyfriend edits the podcast. So we've slowly incorporated her and him into our empire. Without her really knowing, I think.
Yeah, don't tell her.
No. It's a family affair.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. Extended family and mm-hmm. friends and whew. All right. So I think there we have it, right?
Yes.
So Josie, thank you so much for your time today and kind of walking us through a little trip down memory lane about our first 7 years. And I hope you'll come back in 2028 and we'll talk about the next 7 years.
I'll be here.
Great.
Okay. Thanks, hon.
Come with me, my friends, into the coaching corner for a moment because I want to talk to authors and narrators at the same time. And what I want you to talk about is talking. I want you two to talk when you're in a book together. Authors, I want you to talk to your narrators. Give them as much information as you possibly can. You do need to keep in mind that they are the creative genius behind the audiobook, but they also want it to sound better than you would have ever thought it could have. So they're going to take your input and take your thoughts and incorporate them as they can. Narrators. Narrating audiobooks is hard. Don't make it harder than it has to be by guessing what the author meant, or how they would want that pronounced, or what feeling they wanted that character to experience at that point. Ask them. I always recommend that when you sign a new contract, you read the book top to bottom, take your notes, as I've talked about in some other episodes of the podcast, and then ask for a Zoom session to sit and chat with the author about their book. It's going to give you insights that you wouldn't have come up with on your own. And if you've totally misjudged something, the author can kind of give you some ideas about it now before you start recording. It's always easier to get those things nailed down first than after you've spent some time recording and they've heard it and they've said, you know, gosh, could you rethink this and try that again? You could have avoided that with conversation, talk, communication, relationship, relationship, relationship. Build them, love them. All right, that's it for Coaching Corner. Thank you for listening to today's show. I'd like to thank my wife, my everything, Josie, for being here and sharing our start. It's going to be another great 7 years. Here we go.